it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Baez. And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Donna goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling. 25-20. Got a block for Brown. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown. 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 Don't win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it. And he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
In the ring. Steamboat's got him up. A slam. The player is by Craywood, too. He did it. He did it. He's the play whistle. And Blair has done it. Blair has done it.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up and welcome in. You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Glad you're with me. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood. The Chicago Cubs have lost to the Colorado Rockies at Wrigley Field by the score of 2-1. If you get a chance to watch that game, listen to it right here on ESPN 1000. Check in 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. I will start with the stat I gave on the show on Monday night, and that was from Chris Kampka from NBC Sports Chicago. And that stat was most games this year with one or no runs scored. The Orioles with 40, the Cubs with 39, Marlins with 37, Giants 36, the Mets with 35. The point is that those other teams I just mentioned, nowhere near the playoffs with the Giants and the Mets and the Marlins and the Orioles. But the Cubs are in that same spot. Most games this season with one or no runs, 39, a big 39 for the Chicago Cubs. An opportunity for this Cubs team to be able to turn the corner after losing against Milwaukee, and they trickle it down their legs in 13 against the Colorado Rockies. No surprise to me, and the reason why is because, as we talked about on Monday night, after we talked about the loss that the Cubs suffered at the hands of the Milwaukee Brewers and lost the division, the thought was is that it's hard to explain to someone that has not watched this team all season. How can a 95-win ball club look so anemic? That one stat right there tells a greater story than I could ever tell about Chicago Cubs baseball in 2018. The most mercurial, the most odd Cubs team that I can remember. I've seen horrible teams. I have seen lucky teams like the 89 Cubs. I've seen World Series team with this Cubs team. But it's so amazing, the success from a one-loss record standpoint for this Cubs team, and then for them to play like that, a five-game lead over Milwaukee, trickled away, tricked off, and now here you are in this spot on October 3rd, and the Cubs will not be going on into the playoffs as they lost not only to the Milwaukee Brewers, but they also lost to the Colorado Rockies. Phone lines open for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number for our Cubs post-game conversation with you. I'll be the fastest to take your phone calls and your reaction. If you watch that game, listen to it, jump in, because I want to talk to you about it. This game, started by John Lester, when you come into this particular game, you say, at least you have the ace on the mound. John Lester, more times than not, you can depend on him to give you a quality outing because he's the ace. Nine strikeouts through six. And I thought that he pitched well enough to stay in the ball game early on. Of course, if you're going to go and try to get after an ace, you want to get to him early. The Rockies try to do that early by somehow trying to get on the board with a run in the first inning. And also, I thought that he was squeezed a little bit by Guccione, the home plate umpire, early. But he was able to settle in because that's what veterans do. And then it's the cha-cha line of guys out of the bullpen trying to help this Cubs team and stay afloat. I give the pitching all the credit in the world for keeping the Cubs into it, but the offense, once again, letting down. It's hard to explain how a ball club that has 95 wins and has all these hitters from ESPN 1000's Anthony Rizzo, from Chris Bryant, from Murphy, from Al Moore, from Contreras, from Baez, really a true MVP, really the heartbeat of the team, Baez. It's hard to explain how this lineup with this offense can't seem to come around and get a hit when you need it. the reason why the Cubs are in this position right now, on the outside looking in the playoffs, is because of their inconsistency. This is Cubs baseball in 2018. Despite the wins, you can see the inconsistency from this baseball team. And this is where you are right now. I was hearing this from Jesse last night, who covers the Cubs, Jesse Rogers, and I heard this from David Kaplan, and I heard this from certain places around Cubdom, where they were saying that, well, if the Cubs don't break through here and get into the playoffs and make a series out of it against Milwaukee, if they beat Colorado, that there would be major changes with the Cubs. You'll hear this later on this morning and through the day about major quote-unquote changes with the Cubs. And I don't even know what that means, major changes, because it's one thing to lay this all at the feet of Joe Madden, because I know some of you will, because that's easy and it's lazy and you'll blame Joe Madden for this. But I think that you can look at some of these players, these high-priced players, these guys that are making top dollar number one, but two are supposed to produce. These guys have not come through the way they need to down the stretch in games. I just think, when I be looking at the numbers, you can look at a number of teams in baseball that have that resolve and that the ability to come from behind. The Cubs have done it so often this season to win ball games. Behind in games, having to dig themselves out with a key base hit here or there, and you like that. However, you like to see this team to be able to come together offensively and get it done every once in a while. So it won't be so much on the bullpen. So it won't be so much on trying to put it on one hitter, one batter. And so this is what you have, ladies and gentlemen, Cub fans. You have a Cubs team that has underachieved their way out of the playoffs. This is where they are right now. And when you look at the storylines, that's another reason why it's hard to explain. People look at this Cubs team and said, man, look at Joe Madden and how great a manager he is. And look at this lineup and look at this roster. How can this Cubs team falter like this? All of the issues, as we're going to hear from Joe Madden in a little bit, the manager for the Cubs, he'll speak to the press in a little bit in Chicago. You look at the Yu Darvish situation, starting there, Yu Darvish, the drama there where he was in Los Angeles talking to The Athletic and saying, you know, I think Cub fans are mad at me because I'm always injured. I've been on the DL twice, so I don't feel comfortable in Chicago. It started there with that storyline in the spring. Then from there, having Tyler Chatwood on this team because Theo outdumbed the room by bringing Tyler Chatwood in, and Tyler Chatwood walks small islands of people this season. There's other things going on with this Cubs team, but first, let's go to Joe Madden, the manager for the Cubs, as the Cubs lose.
That was a hell of a ball game right there. Both sides pitched as good as you can possibly pitch. Kind of an instant classic kind of a game. So to the Rockies and Pepe and the whole group, I want to say that. And also to my group, we just had a nice little moment within our clubhouse. It's a very tightly knit group. It was a couple guys spoke a little bit, and then we did our shot, and then we just went around and hugged each other. It was very sincere. It means something. It's about the culture that we've created. This is 4 years in a row in the playoffs. This is something we really believe we can sustain. We just got a little bit challenged offensively at the end of the year. Obviously, that hurt us, but as a group and talented and the way they interact, I could not ask for more.
We're going to start up right here, second row, on the right.
Joe, how much of this game was kind of a microcosm of the way things have gone for you guys offensively? You know, you ranked pretty well in runs this year, but you had so many games where you just, you know, couldn't get the big hit, ended up with 0-1 run.
Yeah, that's we played that game a lot. Believe me, it was on my mind for a large part of it. We had some opportunities. We just could not cash in. I mean, they pitched really well, too. But we need to figure that out in the offseason, next spring training. As my buddy Dave Wills would say, we left too much chicken on the bone right there. We've had plenty of opportunities. And I'm not here to denigrate anybody. Our work's put in, the hay's in the barn. Everybody cares. It just didn't play out this way offensively. We caught the ball. We pitched really, really well. Like I said, the esprit de corps, I can't ask for more. So it's just something we really have to focus on during the offseason.
Front row on the right.
Kevin. Joe, along those lines with the last two home games, playoff games, you know, two runs. Are you shocked by that?
Well, I mean, like we just talked about, it's happened, Kev. It's happened. We've been in that. We put ourselves in that position often. You know, the games against the Pirates, to get to this point, we didn't score a whole lot. But then we finally came back and won two. We've had a series this year where we've scored, how many runs did we score in Pittsburgh? One per game in a four-game series and won two of them. You know, so that's, we've been fighting with this. And I want to believe, and I do believe, that you're going to see a lot of these guys rebound more offensively next year because they're very talented and they're young and they're not hurt. I mean, to me, it's like an age issue normally, and it's also an injury issue, but we're not. We're not injured, and we're not old. So I really anticipate a nice rebound.
To the left, Joe?
Yes. Joe, the expectations have obviously been very high here for the last 4 years. You guys win 95 games in the regular season and unfortunately fall a little bit short. How disappointing is it not to go where you wanted to go here this season?
Well, I think I mentioned that in the pre-game. It is disappointing because our anticipation, our expectation is to play the last game of the year and win it. It's just that this year we had a lot of things go awry. I mean, I'm not going to stand here and sit here and number them. And furthermore, the schedule was rather difficult towards the end. I don't even know how much that played into it. But I just complimented our guys on the fact none of them complained, none of them made excuses. And to the very end, like in the dugout, I was very much alive supporting one another. See, to me, this stuff is important. I mean, again, that's culturally something you're looking for in this game. You play 162, you're with each other every day, 40 games in spring training, the 163, and then and spring training. So that's a lot of games. So I love the fact that our guys are on the same page. It's going to matter when we report again next year. I think this is going to serve as motivation for next season.
Joe, after a loss, this is jarring. How much change do you expect in the offseason in terms of personnel or even approach to hitting, because that was the biggest problem?
I honestly don't anticipate a lot. And again, that's not my purview. My purview is to manage, not to worry about that stuff. Again, I'm looking at names as you just asked the question. There's still a lot of young names there that are still learning their craft offensively. And we had scored a lot of runs. It's not like we've been void of scoring runs. We just, there's been clumps where we've scored runs and there's been clumps where we've not been able to. We have to be able to figure out the run scoring, and especially this time of the year. It's not the first time it's happened to us in the playoffs. So we just have to continue to work through it. You know, you trust in Theo and Jed and the boys up top, and they'll make the necessary adjustments. But again, that's not within my purview. My purview is to work with what we have, and I love what we have.
One or two more for Joe? Right here on the right.
Joe, I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on the starting pitch-up matchup tonight. I mean, for six-plus innings, it looked like just a classic duel.
Yeah, I didn't want to take Johnny out. I mean, Johnny was good to go. He was definitely good to go, and Hap starts out the inning. We put ourselves in a position possibly to score, and it went away. But Johnny had a lot left in the tank, a lot. And their kid Freeland pitching on 3 days rest, that's pretty darn impressive. That's a growth moment for him personally now and in the future. So they were both fabulous. Bullpens were fabulous. Ottavino pitched out of a tough moment. Cole Hamels coming out of the pen. Cishek looked sharp. How about Stropey? First time in weeks and looked like he just pitched 2 days ago. So, again, there's a lot of platitudes to be spread around. There's a lot of good stuff. We just did not hit like we think we're capable of. Otherwise, some pretty good baseball.
There from Joe Maddon, the manager for the Chicago Cubs. As you're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, Jonathan Hood with you with this Cubs postgame special as the Cubs lose to the Colorado Rockies. You heard some thoughts there from Joe Maddon talking about how he thought that throughout the season the Cubs pitched pretty well. He was talking about a rebound for this baseball team. He says that they're not injured or not old, but he anticipates a rebound for this team next season. Also talks about the difficult schedule toward the end of the season. I guess he's talking about September and all the rainouts and all that. Talking about the schedule, how difficult that was. He says that what happened this year is going to be motivation for next season. Well, I will tell you this, that this baseball team, if there's going to be an overhaul, I'd like to see where that's going to be, because the core of this team, and you can identify the core of this team from looking at Javi Baez as an MVP candidate, from there Rizzo and Bryant, And you can look at Contreras. There's a number of guys you can look at that are core members of this team. He talks about some of the youth on the roster as well and say it's not in his purview to be able to look at that roster. Everybody in that front office better take a look at this Cubs team, because I'll tell you this, the success of this Cubs team is tied to Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer, but more so Epstein than anything else. I said once the Cubs won the World Series that the window for this championship window for this Cubs team is open through 2021. 2021 is the end of Theo Epstein's contract, which has not been renewed. It's not been extended. He is with the Cubs through 2021 at this point in time. It would be a shame for this core, with these hitters and the dynamic players on this roster, to only come up with one World Series championship. One's fine, but I know you, the Cub fan, want to see more. It's one thing to see your team in the postseason. It's one thing to try to win the division, but being in the stratosphere of being able to win a championship, that's what it's all about. And so the Cubs fall short. We're taking your thoughts. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. So before we heard from Joe Maddon, we were talking about some of the storylines throughout the season for this Cubs team. From Yu Darvish, from Tyler Chatwood, to Carl Edwards, his underachievement this season where he can be trusted down the stretch, to Chris Bryant's injury. Chris Bryant is a cornerstone for this franchise, and he was hurt, and he was really never the same offensively. To having to acquire Daniel Murphy, needing a stopgap. Imagine that. This offense, on paper, should have been able to get out of their doldrums offensively, and they could not do that. So they acquired Daniel Murphy, who's really on the downside, as you got a chance to see here. Down the stretch for the Cubs. As far as Pedro Strop unnecessarily put in a position to get injuries, we've identified that Strop should have been healthy the entire time. And so he came out there today. It was good to see him out there because it looked like old-fashioned Strop to me. The hat turned to the side, and that guy was ready to go. Unfortunately, he had missed some time because of a move, and I think a really cardinal mistake made by Joe Maddon, the manager. Wilson Contreras in his power outage. Brian Dunsing out for the year. Acquiring Cole Hamels to try to help a slumping starting rotation. Having to rely on David Bodie for a little bit. Complete power issues throughout the lineup for this Cubs team. And there's so many other weird, quirky things that happened to this Cubs team. But the bottom line is, this Cubs team should have been able to get through. If not Milwaukee yesterday, they should have been able to beat the Rockies. A team in the Rockies that traveled, by the way, from Los Angeles to Chicago, and they found a way to get up off the mat and be able to win against the Cubs in extra innings. A team that lost to Los Angeles traveled to get here, and they still were able to come through. Solid defense by the Rockies, because you tip your cap to them. They were able to have enough resolve to stay in there and be able to win the ball game. And now they are off to Milwaukee, and the Cubs are going home. 5-game lead in the National League Central on September 1st, and they tricked it off. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. We'll take your phone calls on this Cubs team as the Cubs season is over. We're talking about it on Under the Hood.
Jonathan Hood.
I'm so hood!
On ESPN 1000. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
0-2, and he swings and lines it into left center. It's a base hit. Gore will come in to score. Baez on his way to second. Dives in head first, and this game is tied.
One ball, two strikes. And the pitch, and a swing and a ground ball. Base hit into center field. Story comes in to score. Para around to third, and the Rockies have taken a 2-1 lead.
Right here on ESPN 1000, Dan Shulman on the call as the Cubs lose to the Rockies at Wrigley Field. Their season is over, and we're talking about it here. 312-332-ESPN. Hit me up on Twitter as well. Twitter.com, TweetJHood, or also on Instagram, IGJHood. Let's go to the phone line to hear from you. Evan in Memphis, Tennessee, with us, listening on the ESPN app on ESPN 1000. Hi, Evan.
Hey, Jay Hood. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm honestly really disappointed in this Cubs team. With all the talent they have, $200 million payroll, I mean, you score one or zero runs in 40 games this season. I mean, honestly, that's pathetic. I mean, and then what I saw from Chris Bryant tonight was also pathetic. I mean, you talked about injuries. He's had problems with injuries after played all year this year. But what I saw tonight, honestly, was just mental. I mean, he's not right mentally right now. So they need to get him going. I mean, Jason Hayward, we all saw that. Hayward had a terrible year again.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, this is what this Cubs team needed, though. They need, like John Lester said, he had a good quote today. I don't know if you saw it, but, you know, sometimes you need to get kicked in the you-know-what so you know, like, what you have. So this team needs to get kicked down a little bit. They need to get another rallying cry like they had in 2016. You know, they need to come back together next year, brand new identity. And, I mean, I think they're going to be good next year, but, you know, they got to make some changes. I think maybe Machado coming in for Russell. But
I'll say this. I appreciate your phone call. As is, Evan, this team should be good enough to be able to get to the next level and not lose to the Rockies. That's my point. Like, you can keep adding offense, but if that offense is cold around the new guy like it was for Daniel Murphy, then what's the point? See, it's about philosophy, it's about approach, it's about these players being able to come together and not be so hot and cold. You're going to have hot and cold all season. But the point is that it was long stretches for the Cubs, for whatever reason, of ineptitude offensively that stopped them. Evan, I'm glad you checked in. Appreciate your phone call. Leaves line open, 312-332-ESPN. Steven in Dallas, Texas, listening on the ESPN app with us on Under the Hood. Hello, Steve.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for taking my call. First-time caller as well.
Thank you.
I give this team a lot of credit for all the tribulation and resiliency that they have to deal with. But I do agree. Listen, I'm not going to go into Fire Madden or Chili Davis because it's too easy. But I do think that Theo and Jed obviously needs to be held to a higher accountability after coming off a very disappointing and, you know, worst offseason in probably their history. And I think the question now is, what do they have up in their sleeves? Obviously, some of the players may have hit the ceiling. And I think it's their job to figure out who's going to stay and who goes. And I agree, bringing in Machado and Harper to bring jolt and attitude to a team that has kind of hit the stagnation would be possibly, you know, one of the ways to, you know, revitalize this offense. Because changing hitting coaches can get you only so far. It's up to the players like Baez to take themselves to the next level. You know, Happ, Contreras, Schwarber, do they have that in them? Or maybe they're just, you know, too overrated. I think that's something that I'm going to look forward to this offseason. Thank you, guys.
It'll be interesting to see for sure, Steve, and I appreciate your telephone call. I just think that, as I mentioned all throughout the season, I just never felt that this was a World Series team or a team that's going to have a long shelf life, because I just didn't feel good about there was not the magic. And you know what I mean by the magic. The Brewers have this magic that you can see what's going on with that team. The Houston Astros have that magic. I saw this Cubs team, and despite, again, the one loss record, I saw a ball club that was just kind of sleepwalking through offensively and just not really having what I saw a couple of years ago. That's what gave me pause watching this team. I said, yeah, you know what? That magic's not there. And just some of the choices made by Theo and Jed were not very good as far as bringing Chatwood in or bringing Yu Darvish in. I was not a big fan of it. But I will tell you this, because I'm an adult now, okay? Not just some Joe fan. I'm just telling you that when you lose, everybody needs to be blamed. That's Chili Davis, that's Joe Madden, that's the players, that's the organization. Everybody lost tonight. Everybody lost this season. And so it's not going to be Madden that's going to be out. There's going to have to be some changes if this team wants to enhance their chances of getting to the World Series next year. Glad you checked in. Appreciate your phone call, Steve. Aaron in Crestwood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Hi, Aaron.
Hoodie, what's up, man? This your boy from high school, dude.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
Hey, man.
What's up?
Hey, what's up, Hoodie? Hey, why can't our left-handers hit out that shift, man? None of them can hit to the opposite field. They all hit to the second baseman. That's on Chili as well. He see how they line him up on that shift. Rizzo hits to the second baseman. Schroeder hits to the second baseman. It's ridiculous. We never hit to the opposite field with our lefties.
Yeah, I appreciate your phone call. Thanks for checking in. Good to hear your voice, Aaron. I just, you know, and again, we talk about a shift in philosophy offensively, not to the point where it should be a detriment to the ball club, though. That's the thing. You can have that shift in philosophy because it is a difference. It's too long to explain right now, but as far as launch angle, as far as the way that you're able to spray your hits from left to right in the outfield, depending on who's at the plate, there is a difference in philosophy, but not to the point where the Cubs should just totally shut down offensively. I'll give that stat again. One or no runs this season, 39 leading into this season. Now it's a big 4-0. 40 times, 40 games this season, the Cubs have played with one run or no run scored. That is just pathetic. And again, that can't be on one guy. That's got to be on a ball club that's willing to hit. John is in Oswego with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Hi, John. Is John with us? Instead, we will go to John and Wrigley with us on ESPN 1000. Hi, John.
Hoodie, it's good to talk to you, man. I got to say, people love to call and beat up Madden. How would you manage the team if you look at the guys? They cannot hit the ball. It's unbelievable. Two runs, play two home playoff games. You grind out 162 games. You get game 163 at home. Score one run. Get the wild card game at home. You score one run. What did you want Madden to do? He made the ballsiest call I've ever seen by pinch hit or pinch running for Rizzo. He puts Gore in. Mm-hmm. Gore steals second, and then he scores with two outs because Baez gets a hit. For love of God, actually gets a hit. And people would have killed him. People would have killed Madden. But no one calls, no one compliments Madden for making that call. They just beat him up. But there's no way to manage that team. They can't hit. They have no relievers. He had to use four starting pitchers today. What would they have done if they won the series? They would have played Milwaukee against that incredible bullpen, and they would have had no starting pitchers. I don't know. It's just the guy did everything he could with very, I don't want to say little talent. They have a ton of talent, but they just didn't perform. So that's all. I'll hang up and I'll listen. Thanks for taking the call.
Well, John, I'm glad you checked in. Well, it's not enough time for me for you to ask me what I would do if I'm the manager of the Chicago Cubs. Because if I'm the manager of the Chicago Cubs, it's not a country club atmosphere. And I know that Madden's mentality and his temperament is different from mine. But when you are struggling offensively, I don't think you could take days off of hitting and trying to get better every day. But Madden and I are different. Madden's a Major League Baseball manager. I am not. He knows the temperament of his team and the temperature of his ball club. I just know for me that I'm not running the country club of just saying, it's okay, you don't have to go to batting practice. We're going to have these amount of days off in batting practice. You just come in and play. Because I just don't think that you can just throw the gloves on the field and think that you could just win 100 games and win the World Series. Because the Cubs aren't that good. I said that in May. I said that in June. You could see it happening throughout the season. Madden didn't see that. The players didn't see that. So that's why they performed the way they did. So, and again, like I said, it's a long-form thought from me as far as the way this Cubs team is managed. But again, I know that Cubs fans will rely on, well, they won the World Series, so it's okay. Well, if you want sustained success, sometimes you got to be able to change up what you did to be able to get that success. You just don't do the same old. Sometimes you want to be able to get better and try new things in order to get to garner that success. But that's just me. Let me squeeze in Fred in Phoenix with us on ESPN 1000. Hi, Fred.
Hey, Jay Hood. Good talking to you, man.
What's up?
I want to bring up two quick points for you. Theo and Jed have talked about situational hitting, and there was a key moment in the sixth inning when Madden pulled Lester and Ian Happ got a walk, I think. And then the next batter was Bryant and he got that fluke hit. But he swung on the first pitch and I was upset about that because at that moment I think Freeman had like 70 pitches or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or probably in the 60s. And then the next batter, Rizzo, did the same thing. So they didn't work the count. They didn't get, who knows? I mean, what would have happened? But that's one of the points I wanted to bring, and also the second thing is
I'm against the clock, but I'm glad that you checked in. I want to get you on and get your thoughts out there. So glad you checked in, Fred. I appreciate your phone call. Yep, we're against the clock because we got SportsCenter all night. Then we've got Golic and Wingo at 5, and don't forget all day on ESPN 1000 we'll be breaking this down. The Cubs lose to the Rockies. I'm glad you guys checked in. Glad you guys tweeted at me at twitter.com tweetjhood. Don't forget the Under the Hood podcast. Wherever you download your podcast, listen to my thoughts about the Cubs. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Download it wherever you get your podcast. Our thanks to Sean Davis on the other side of the glass. That's our Cubs post game for tonight, and don't forget to listen all day to this Cubs postmortem. Cubs lose to the Rockies. Unbelievable, but it happened in 2018. Talk to you soon. Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
I go work like a doctor when I rock the
mic, you got to like it.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
Go ahead and bless him. Bless him. Bless him then.